Wild Talk Radio Network.
But tonight, a challenge to celebrate the fallen suns on the Day of the Dead. A challenge to any souls brave enough to come face to face with my monsters.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3. It's me, DDP.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
This is Pat Patterson.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Face the fear? Forget that. I am the man without fear. I slay the dragons. I exorcise the demons. I smash the zombies. I destroy all the monsters. That's what I do around here.
With your host,
Halloween is no fun if you don't get to scare people. But I'm not one for giving up. Tonight, somebody is getting scared.
Oh. Lindsay Ward.
These are not costumes. Evil is very real.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
I was never allowed to dress up for Halloween. I was told it was too sinful.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
All you have to do is boo leave.
We're here.
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And also the very fine folks over at Manscaped.com. That's right, folks. You use the code WTRLive right now at Manscaped.com. You can get 20% off any product in their store. And you get free shipping. That is a pretty, pretty sweet deal. It's a very nice treat in this trick-or-treat season. And yes, y'all, that music means one thing. It is the Halloween Spooktacular. Boo-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. Because Saturday is Halloween. And I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
It is your royalty-free Halloween music. Mooha.
I don't know. I kind of like it. It's cute.
It's called Spook 3. Mooha ha ha ha. Follow us on Wild Talk Radio, our record show at Lindsay Ward. Come to wildtalkradio.com, our record show.com, or twitch.tv/WTRLive. And join and interact with us here on this spooktacular Mooha ha ha.
By the way, I'm just telling everybody right now, I'm not at least doing Fortnite with friends because I had a very long night day thing because tropical storms and whatnot here in the good old ATL. So I've been up very, very early this morning and did not get a lot of sleep last night. So I'm not doing Fortnite with friends. I don't know about anybody else. So just to make y'all aware. Right off the top. I'm probably going to bed right after this. Yay. Yay, sleep. Woo! But anyway, we have a lot to get into tonight, don't we?
We do. We have to talk about all things Hell in a Cell and Halloween Havoc.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Plus Tweet a Week and football.
Yeah, because the Falcons are playing and they're doing everything they can to throw the game. We'll see if they actually succeed. By the way, Fox, NFL Fox, Fox Sports, whoever the hell you are, you have no right to throw that much shade at the Falcons. I get they suck. And I appreciate that, you know, you want to take some shots and y'all go right on ahead, but you don't need to be having Jeff Gordon throwing shade like that in the pregame show, okay? So, you know, don't make them feel worse. They already know they're bad.
So, whenever there's a score for tonight and tonight only, we have a different sounder.
Okay.
Bo.
Aww, I miss Bo Dallas.
So if there's a score during the show, that will be the sounder for tonight.
But you know what? I forgot to do something.
Did you? What did you forget to do?
I forgot to talk all about Prime Gaming.
Prime Gaming? Tell me all about Prime Gaming.
Did you know, guys, that there's a little purple button down at the bottom of your screen that will allow you to subscribe for 30 days for free if you have Prime Gaming? And hey, you know what? Mine is up for grabs. So I'm going to go ahead and click the little purple button, and I'm going to subscribe for free to our channel for the next 30 days.
Wow. Look at that. Wait for you to share it and it pop up. To get that, you have to link your Amazon account to your Twitch account, and that's Prime Gaming. Oh, yeah. She's typing a message.
It's Boots the Ass's time.
There it is. It's that simple. It's that easy. You can subscribe for free for 30 days. You can also subscribe the regular way or follow the channel. It is entirely up to you. Or you can just hang out and chat. It's cool.
Hang out, chat, or just go to manscaped.com. Use code WTRLive in the next month, and that would be cool. Hashtag it.
Please buy things.
Buy things for the holidays. Do it a row. Do it. Anyway, thanks to Lynn's Ward for 8 months in a row. Prime Woo! Gaming. Oh, yeah.
Go me. But anyway, like we said, we have a lot to get into tonight. We are going to be talking all about Hell in a Cell first, because that was this past Sunday on the WWE Network. And this was an interesting show, mainly because only 4 matches were announced as of last week. So we did not have a full pick'em, because a lot of matches got dropped Sunday, which is not cool. Not cool at all, but I'm just going to say it about this pay-per-view. This is the story of 3 very different Hell in a Cell matches.
I would agree.
And it was an interesting take on all 3. We're going to break them down. I will say 3 was a little much. And I'm going to tell you why 3 was a little much as we go through them.
3 is a lot, especially when you put the most violent in the middle.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
But let's get into the matches. Want to start with the Roman match?
Yeah, let's start with the Roman match.
Since it kicked off the main show, by the way, R-Truth retained over Drew Gulak on the pre-show.
Poor Drew.
Where Drew fought Little Jimmy and, well, kicked him. Drew Gulak is the man. That's all.
Yes, he is. He's very much the man. So, this was the first of 3, as we said.
It's Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, I Quit, Hell in a Cell for the Universal Championship. And go.
So, I had to watch this match twice. Not because I enjoyed it that much, but because I missed it the first go round because I literally tuned out 5 minutes into this match. To me, I didn't necessarily enjoy this. I know a lot of people did, and I would agree that the storytelling was really, really, really good. But I'm going to be completely honest, if the announcers hadn't been there, the storytelling probably would not have been as good. This, to me, should not have been in the cell. There was no reason for it to be in the cell. If anything, it was just this because they didn't really use the cell. And that's fine. You don't have to. There's no stipulation. But if you watch the docuseries 20 for, or not 20 for 20, but the Randy Orton Undertaker docuseries. Untold. Thank you. Sorry. I'm very tired, by the way, if you're just tuning in. I'm very tired.
Also, they have a lot of different names for their series, so it's hard to keep them on track.
Yeah. Randy Orton brings up a great point that Hell in a Cell is a place to come up with new, innovative things, things that people have never done before, and really to just try things. And I will admit they tried things in this match. I wish it had been more violent, because when you set an expectation with Hell in a Cell plus I Quit, right? There's an expectation of violence there. There's an expectation of just general brutality that wasn't there in this match. It had moments where, like, Roman was throwing the steps around and they were using a strap and that kind of thing. But there was a lot of talking. It was very slow. And this was not my favorite match. I really actually did not enjoy this. I'm going to just come out and say it. I really do not like the Tribal Chief moniker. I really don't like it at all. I will say, I did like part of it, the part where Roman's got Jey pinned by the step, or pinned with the steps, I should say, and he's like basically telling him, I'm better than you, I've always been better than you.
Can we back it up really quick?
Hmm.
And the steps. Roman Reigns, welcome to Botchamania.
Him, yeah, because he missed the step throw.
He missed the step throw, it would bounce right back to him.
Yeah, there are no children in chat as far as I'm aware, so feel free to curse.
Yeah, people out of to speak freely in this chat room. Thank you.
We just said it on Monday because there was somebody that came in and said that they were 9 and we have to take them at their word that they're 9. So there's a kid in chat. There is, as far as I'm aware, there's no kids in this chat right now. However, if you are a child, it is 10:13 at night. Consider this a dark mode stream. You have been warned. Okay, thanks.
You also have to be 13-year-olds to be on Twitch. Anyway, let's move on.
So, I just really struggle with this. And I don't want to sit here and bash it because it did have its moments. It was good from a theatrical storytelling standpoint. I don't necessarily care for Roman's character being so needy and so about needing really the recognition from his family, mainly because he already had it. Like, his whole thing is all you had to do was say the words, which all I could think the entire time he's saying that is Jareth from Labyrinth, where he chases Sarah through the labyrinth for 2 hours to convince her to stay there. And he does all these horrible things to her. He's a horrible person, goblin, whatever, thing. And like at the end of the movie, he's holding the globe up to her that, you know, is basically like, do what I want and I'll be everything for you. Like, and that's what I feel like this was with Roman, is Roman is like trying to get this recognition of power that he doesn't necessarily have inside the family from the Usos. And it's like, dude, why are they going to say that? Why are they going to call you that? Because basically Roman came out and said, well, I'm going to kick you, your wife, your children, your children's children out of the family. Like, you're all gone. Like, you're all out. Which I don't think he necessarily had that power, but okay. But that was the whole like crux of this match, which was fine, but it didn't make a lot of sense. And I feel like the thing that they did at the end of the match should have happened last match or like in between, because basically they had Roman's dad, and I believe his uncle,
mm-hmm,
come out and crown him as the head of the family.
Offensika
came out and like put the lay on him to basically signify that he's the tribal chief, he's the head of the family, he's whatever. Which is like, where the hell was that at the last pay-per-view? I mean, it was a really cool moment, don't get me wrong, and I loved it, and it was such a great special thing for them. But it's like, where was that last pay-per-view? That would have made a hell of a lot more sense coming into this one, where basically Afa and Sika had passed the torch to Roman and said, hey, we're putting you in charge, dude. You do your thing. And then he's coming at the Usos and he's like, okay, so sup. Because Roman's talking about, you know, how Jay put him in this position and how Jay's disrespecting him because Jay fought him, even though he was trying to be benevolent and give Jay an opportunity because he'd never had one and all this stuff. And it was just like, it was good from a theatrical standpoint, but from like a logic standpoint, from a wrestling standpoint, it's like, dude, come on, just beat him up. Just like beat him up. Like, the fact that there was just so much space and so much time in this, I just really didn't enjoy the slow bits. Like, I'm all for theater. I'm all for theater and storytelling. Here for it. 1000%. If you've ever listened to the show, you know I'm here for it. This just, to me, this was a little bit too much theater and a little bit not enough wrestling. Violence, whatever you want to call it. Not enough fighting. Especially in comparison to what we saw much later in the night with the other two matches involved. Like, I mean, I think this could have been a fine I Quit match without the cell. They could have achieved the exact same ends without the cell and it would have been fine. Or you could have achieved the exact same ends in the cell without an I Quit stipulation. Because the weird thing was like the way that they finished the match, right? Where Roman's got Jimmy and it forces Jay to quit to save his brother, mm-hmm, which is a nice touch.
Yeah. But Jay's been dead for 10 minutes. Where was Jimmy for 10 minutes?
I was personally kind of rooting for a little bit of twin magic in this. I'm not going to lie.
If Jimmy was healthy, yeah.
If Jimmy was healthy, that would have been cool, but he's just not quite ready to get back in the ring. But this basically now causes Jimmy and Jay to become Roman's lackeys as opposed to being out of the family. I think that's what Paul Heyman said on the pre-show.
Sounds like. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm a little confused about what the punishment for this is. Because it's like, wait, you're going to punish him for a match that you offered to him and he accepted. I don't know. There's some weirdness going on in this. I mean, overall, for what it was good. And I just did not personally enjoy this. This was just not my thing. And last time was not my thing either. And if this is what Roman Reigns matches are going to be from here on out, I need to have a very serious discussion with people about it. Because, oh my God, no.
Okay. So, SummerSlam came, Roman Reigns came out, whooped on Bray, whooped on Braun after the words, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember, it was not Clash, it was Backlash?
Yes.
Or Payback?
Payback, it was Payback.
Payback, the week after. Hard to remember these names. Roman Reigns came in, whooped their ass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt whooped their ass.
Not even Bray Wyatt, The Fiend. It was The Fiend.
Okay. Whooped their ass. Struggles to put away tag team specialist, Jey Uso. Okay. We're going to look at this match as, if you just look at the match as wrestler A versus wrestler B, good storytelling, too long, but it served its purpose. It got the character over and needed to. We can all agree on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it as just a single match and have nothing around it, ever. No history, no nothing. It served its purpose. Then I look at it and go, because it's Undertaker month, and I had watched Untold earlier in the day, and gave me flashbacks to, you know, Roman and Taker, especially when they did the two spears and it went for the third. You're telling me Jey Uso is tougher than the Undertaker?
Well, I mean, he could be.
It's the Undertaker.
I understand that, but...
It's the Phenom, it's the Undertaker. But, and this is my problem with wrestling in general right now at times, where everything has to be too drawn out, especially when you know wrestler A is better than wrestler B in every category. Wrestler A should handle wrestler B. There are times when wrestler B can pull the upset, but we all knew wrestler B was not getting the upset. There was no point in that match where he went, hey, he has a chance, except for that one moment where he was choking his ass out and could have killed him, but didn't. That was the only point where he went, will he?
Yeah, it was like, huh, okay, all right, are they really going to do the thing? Probably not, but are they really going to do the thing?
And that was my problem last month when it was, Roman Reigns should single-handedly beat Jey Uso. Roman Reigns this month, inside a cell, which they never used, should have beat Jey Uso. Whether they were doing the I Quit strap match or the Hell in a Cell I Quit strap match, because that's what this was. It just, like, you're trying to show how tough Jey is, and I get that. But at some point, I go, it's Jey Uso. I've watched him for a decade. It's Jey Uso. And that's where it loses me in the match. Jey Uso.
Here's my problem with it, is if you're having Roman struggle with Jey, and they've set Roman up to be literally legit the most powerful person in the entire company, not even on SmackDown, the entire company. He took down the other two top two heels with, like, nobody's business. He's standing alone at the top of the mountain on SmackDown.
He choked out Braun Strowman, like, what, a couple days before that?
Yeah, and, like, whooped up on Braun Strowman. So, I have to wonder about this. And I know part of it was the mental anguish, right? Like, part of it is Roman's like, I can't do this to my own family. Like, there's that good side of Roman Reigns that is still poking through. That's like, these are my cousins. These are my brothers. This is my family. I can't do this. I can't put them through this. I can't put through myself through this. And there's that mental anguish side of it that he tried to do in this match. That just somebody did it better later in the night. Where basically it's, I didn't want it to come to this, but it's come to this, and I have to finish you and I have to end you. And I just don't know if I'm all about that. It's like, but you're the one that made the challenge. You challenged Jey. You offered the matchup. You said, hey, you want one more shot? And he's like, yeah, sure, let's go. And Roman's like, okay, cool. Let's do it. Hell in a Cell, I quit. And Jey was like, game on. So Roman set this match. It wasn't even Jey. It was Roman who set this match. And so it's like, you almost did this to yourself. Congratulations, you played yourself. In terms of the mental anguish standpoint of, you never had, you didn't have to offer up the match, right? Like, your term of disrespect could have been, oh, hey, good one, Uso, good one. And you could let it kind of get under his skin and let it boil a little bit. And then he finally goes back to Jey and be like, and is like, you know what? You remember a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago, whatever, when you and I went for the title and you fought me and yeah, you put up a hell of a fight. And I said it was cool. It's not. I'm not okay with it. I need to whoop up on you and I need to beat up on you. Now, I get I get what they're trying to set up, which is I think they're trying to set up like the faction deal. I believe that's where they're going with it. But I just, this whole you disrespected me, but I love you. And then he's trying to be benevolent on top of it. I think I'm a little confused on what the character is supposed to be, because I understand he's not supposed to be Brock. Like, I get that. But if you want me to buy in the fact that he's like the most powerful person on SmackDown and can literally murder anybody in the company that he wants, but yet he's doing this, is like, like, he can be sensitive, he can be benevolent, he can be a lot of different things. But if you want me to buy him as a quote-unquote bad guy, which I think is what he's supposed to be, although I don't know at this point, because they first set him up to be a heel, and now it seems like they're trying to make him more tweener. It's just very bizarre. It's hard for me to say. Like, I guess I'm just very confused about where they're going with the character. And maybe if they get him out of this feud with Jay, and hopefully this was the last match between the two, he will see a more clearly defined character, you know?
Yeah, like, if you wanted them aligned with him, they could have just been aligned with him. You don't need convolution to get there.
Yeah, like, that's my whole thing, is, like, if you want to do a faction, just do it.
Because they were aligned together.
Originally.
Like, when Roman moved over, when Roman was on SmackDown, and they were rolling together before he left. That's... I know Roman has a changed attitude, and the whole story will come out. We didn't even talk about the gold glove he was wearing.
I don't even know what that was.
Trying to be Thanos, I guess.
I guess. I don't know. He stole it from Seth. But, like...
No, he didn't steal it from Seth. It was the same glove he always wore. This one's just gold.
I know, but Seth did the whole gold glove thing as Thanos first. He came out with the Infinity Glove.
Oh, did he? Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did. He did. Oh, yeah. My whole thing is like, if you wanted to do where Jay gets a shot, here's my thing. Is you align Jay and Jimmy with Roman to start, and then they watch what he does, and they see how he's changed, and they realize, hey, this isn't cool. I'm not good with this. This isn't the person that I grew up with. This isn't the person that I know. And that's when they challenge Roman, and that's when they disrespect in quotations, Roman. And that's what leads to these matches. Like, just, you know, for him, I understand that Jay won the title shot the first go-round. Like, I get that. And that's how they did this setup, but it's like, you could have aligned them, you could have had those uneasy feelings after that match, they all just play nice, kiss, make up kind of thing, put a band-aid on it, and then months down the line, especially if you are... in fact, setting Roman up for The Rock, which I think they are, but I think they're not at the same time. I think they're trying to cover all their bases. You could have, like, taken Jay and been like, okay, all right, have him in, say, like, December. Be like, you know what, dude, this isn't cool. Or have Roman screw Jimmy and Jay or something of that effect. And then they're like, hey, man, wait a minute, hold up. And now Roman's fighting with them and there's tension within the family. Because I think having him, I think just right off the bat, right after winning the title, he gets immediately mired down in family BS. It's like, kind of wouldn't have minded maybe a few more defenses under his belt, a few more feuds under his belt before you have him get into something really so personal. But I think because of the draft, I think because of a lot of different factors, they pulled the trigger on this now because it was the best they had.
Because they're trying to build Roman's new persona and they're using him to do it. Apparently it was a gold boot, not a glove.
No, there was a gold glove too. Oh, you're talking about Seth.
Yeah, I'm reading the chat. Some intern said it was a gold boot.
It was a gold accessory. Seth did it first. Anyway. So yeah. So, I mean, if you enjoy that match, that's awesome. And I'm not saying that the match was bad. Like, for what it was, which was pure unadulterated theater with a little violence thrown in for funsies, it was fine. In terms of a wrestling match, in terms of a Hell in a Cell match, in terms of a I Quit match, it kind of left me feeling a little wanting. As I said at the top of this, I had to watch this twice. And the second time was a struggle. Because I had to sit there and I had to watch it and I couldn't do anything else because I knew I was going to miss something if I didn't. And I feel like very strongly that the commentary helped to make this match, because watching it with no sound, you have no commentary. It just, you sit there and you're like, eh. So I feel like what this was just pure theater. That's all it was. It wasn't necessarily a wrestling match per se.
And we'll see where the next step happens on SmackDown tomorrow. So, which is back on Fox. It's back on regular Fox this week.
Yes, they're not on FS1. They're on regular Fox. So moving on from that,
Jeff Hardy and Elias had a match.
This was fun. This was a nice little, I feel like this brought the pay-per-view back up and brought the excitement back into the pay-per-view, because that was the one thing the Roman match kind of did, was it sucked the excitement out a little bit. So it kind of brought the life back into the pay-per-view with this match, at least to me. don't know about y'all.
It was just an average match that we saw. I wasn't a huge fan of Jeff Hardy Elias. It was there. Especially because it didn't have a finish. Ended in DQ. So it's like everything that the match built to just sort of took it away from me. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
So Elias won via disqualification when Jeff Hardy hit Elias with the guitar.
Hey.
Very uneventful. So up next, it is for the Money in the Bank contract. It is Otis versus The Miz. Law Notice was really well done. Mm-hmm. It was straight up comedy, but you had enough people in there to make it fun. You had Teddy Long, JBL,
Ron Simmons,
damn, and Asuka on the stand.
Oh my God, Asuka's so amazing. I love her. And then you had others show up. But yeah, so basically the final verdict of Law and Otis per JBL is that Otis has to face Miz for the Money in the Bank contract, that there was previously unseen evidence that led to that decision. I don't quite remember what the evidence was.
What are you talking about? For why JBL agreed with
Miz, yeah.
Money. He gave him a briefcase full of money.
Okay.
He just gave him a briefcase and he went, ooh. It's a briefcase full of money.
It's Miz. It's all Miz. So these two had a match.
Match was fine. The match was what it was. It was fine.
We need to talk about the finish of said match.
So Jomo, John Morrison, was trying to interfere. He gets tossed. He was trying to hit Otis with the briefcase. So he gets tossed. He drops the briefcase and as he gets thrown out. Tucker picks up said briefcase, and then whacks his friend, Otis, right in the head, allowing The Miz to become Mr. Money in the Bank.
Okay, I have to tell you, I love everything about this, and let me tell you why I love everything about this. Number one, they wrote themselves into a corner with Otis and the Money in the Bank contract, and by making Roman the champion.
Yeah.
So they got themselves out of the corner by moving the Money in the Bank to Raw.
Yeah.
Even though technically you could have moved Otis to Raw. But
yeah.
Number two, Miz, I think, no offense to Otis, will be a much better Mr. Money in the Bank. He's a much more plausible Mr. Money in the Bank. And if he goes to challenge based on what happened on later in the night, it's a much more interesting challenge than Otis doing it. Miz is much more ambitious. He will tease the cash in more. Because that was the thing. Like, Otis never really... They never really even had him tease the Money in the Bank. I think at one point forgot he had it. Because he would kind of show up and he wouldn't have it with him kind of thing. So I feel like Miz will be a much stronger candidate as Money in the Bank. And two, you had Tucker screw Otis. Let me just tell you, after all the Mandy stuff, right? Where Tucker just got left behind. Poor Tucker. He just had to sit in the back and Mandy and Otis went about their business. Man, your boy's got a long memory and he got his payback on Otis. Woohoo! I love this. I love this so much. It's like consistency.
They ended up brawling backstage.
They did.
So I want to throw out something to you. And I had this random thought before the match started. Mm. Especially they gave Otis new music. Like,
yes.
He came to me when Otis got new music. I was like, all right, chance they could push him. But then again, it's... So I had a thought of how you keep the briefcase on Otis, right? And how you make it a spectacular cash in. One of the biggest of all time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have him carry it and he's carrying it forever. Carries it through WrestleMania. Night of WrestleMania, whatever. The main event is Roman Reigns versus The Rock. The Rock beats Roman for the WWE Universal Championship. People go, oh my God, he won the title. The Rock's champion again. Otis cashes in on The Rock.
I mean, you could. I think a lot of people would be pissed, though.
Oh, it would have drawn out so many boos for Otis. But it was like, oh my God, what a spectacular cash-in. Otis beating The Rock. Rock got his WrestleMania win over Roman, but since he can't be the WWE Universal Champion, you just give it to Otis.
I mean, it's a good thought. It's a really good thought. I just think they don't want to go there because I don't know if they can get Dwayne or not.
Oh, no. But it would have been really cool if that actually happened, by the way. Panthers just kicked a field goal. It's 19-17 Falcons.
So,
well, of course it's not going to happen. Otis lost the briefcase.
Yeah.
This was before.
Otis
is
no longer
Money in the Bank. Yeah, this was before the match. I had that thought. But I wanted to put that out on the air.
Ooh, look at that rain. That's nasty.
That doesn't look like fun.
It looks like the shit that came through last night.
Yeah.
Or this morning, or whenever it was. But yeah, I like this from a storytelling standpoint. This makes a lot more sense. No offense to Otis. But they kind of had an opportunity to have Otis in. And I feel like, and this is the thing with the money in the bank contract, is you should make it for any title. Because I think at one point it was for any title. It wasn't just for the world titles. It was, I think, any title, any time, any place type thing. So because you had somebody that didn't cash it in on the world title. Somebody cashed it in on, like, the IC or the US, didn't they?
No.
No? It's always been world?
Yeah.
I could have sworn it at one point. Maybe I'm just insane, which I probably am. But I feel like it's like you had a really big opportunity with Heavy Machinery where you could have had Otis cash it in for the tag titles, and that would have been something unique and different. Or you have Otis give it to Mandy and Mandy cashes in for the women's title. You could have done that. But I feel like they just waited too long on it. They sat on it. And I understand COVID, whatnot. They didn't really have a choice. But by the time Roman came back, Otis's popularity had kind of waned a little bit. And it's, you're not going to have Otis challenge Roman for the title with the Money in the Bank. We all know Otis is going to lose that match.
I mean, he could challenge, he would never win.
You don't want to Damian Sandow him. And so I think this was a very smart call by WWE to move it onto The Miz. Because worst case, if The Miz challenges and loses, The Miz can take the loss. And The Miz will capitalize on the loss. Wholeheartedly. Plus, you know, depending on who he challenges, whether it's Drew or Roman for the title, or at this point, I'm just going with Cat Out of Bag or Randy, because Randy won the title. Spoiler alert. Whether he challenges Roman or Randy for the title, or he challenges at Survivor Series, both of them, and it makes it a three-way, he can absolutely cut the promos that need to be cut to make it a really interesting, good feud with whichever champion it is. So yeah, this is a quality call. I'm here for it. But secretly, I hope he cashes in on Orton, maybe.
I don't, not until just after December. That'd be great. I don't want to lose points. Anyway. Anywho. By the way, you're listening to that rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Remember, go to manscaped.com right now. Use code WTRLive and you can save 20% off everything they have on their web store. Whether that's nail grooming kits, the lawnmower 3.0, or more, go to manscaped.com, use code WTRLive, get 20% off and free shipping. Your balls will thank you.
So will the rest of your body. I know that's their slogan, but I just feel like throwing that out there that the rest of your body will thank you. And you can use the balls command in chat too, if you're on Twitch, to get all the information about manscaped.com. So moving on from there, do we want to save this for the end?
No, let's go. Let's go in order. Let's keep going in order.
All right. Your second Hell of the Cell of the night.
Hell in a Cell.
Probably the most anticipated.
Your WrestleMania main event right here.
Bayley versus Sasha for the SmackDown Women's title inside Hell in a Cell. One. Why the hell did y'all give Bayley duct tape? Y'all should know better than that. What, like, why didn't you have that, like, pre-done for her? Or at least start the tape where you fold over the tape so she can just pull it. Instead of her picking and struggling with the tape.
On this night, Bayley failed arts and crafts.
Yes. Yes, she did. She absolutely 1,000% failed arts and crafts. I felt very, very bad for her. But beyond that, this match was absolutely spectacular, and I'm a little sad it was not the main event.
These two women went out there and beat the ever-living daylights out of each other.
Oh, God.
I love they were black and white.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
I like Bayley's whole look, because it was different for her. It's not her normal boots and pants.
No, she had on, like, capris. It was mm-hmm. very cute.
It worked for, like, a hardcore environment.
Mm-hmm.
Resemble kind of like Lita a little bit, because you know that's, yeah. She draws some inspiration from her. They were innovative in ways that they could. They tried every different way you can use with the Singapore cane, wedging them, and there was the one spot where Sasha went face first into one, and she was supposed to go through two. She only went through one because the one fell, which made it even more impactful on her body itself, because the second one, as we explained on Sunday, would have added some, you know, protection there, more space to land on. Rather than just a thin thing. This was everything a Hell in a Cell match should be. It was hardcore. It was violent. It was personal. Sasha's knees probably really hurt after this match. Because she was diving into the cage repeatedly with meteors.
They used the stuff under the ring. They used the cell itself as a weapon. They used themselves, their own bodies as a weapon. I mean, this was just, and this is what we've all been waiting for with Bailey and Sasha, is at some point we all knew it was going to go to the cell, because their feud is just so personal that it has to. That's the natural conclusion to this, is that at some point they will end up in Hell in a Cell, and probably multiple times. Like, this is not a one and done for them, because they're just going to keep going back and forth forever. So they're going to build back up to the Hell in a Cell. But you want to talk about some really beautiful storytelling in this, some really great moments in this, is that Bailey walks out with a chair that has spray, that has on it, like, spray painted on the lit, on the back part, 1-0. And then when Sasha goes for the finish and she does her submission on Bailey using the chair, it's inverted and it says 0-1.
I don't know if that was intentional or not, but if it was intentional, genius.
Yeah, that was, whether it was or it wasn't, that was just a beautiful moment in that match.
It was storytelling that wasn't obvious. But if you didn't, if you caught it, you caught it. If you didn't, you missed it. And I didn't see it the first time, but it was a screenshot on Twitter. I was like, hot damn, that was clever.
And, yeah, and then the finish of it, which is basically Sasha stamping Bailey and stamping the chair to get her to tap out, which is a throwback to
what Bailey did to Sasha in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
At TakeOver in 2015.
Yeah.
Throwback to the first classic match between the two.
I mean, it's just like there were so many wonderful things. And the thing was, they were talking to each other the whole time. They're talking shit. They're yelling at each other. Oh. They're screaming at each other. They're venting their anger at each other.
Not even talking to each other. Bailey was talking, answering the announcers.
Yeah, she was giving the announcer shit, which was hilarious.
She, like, Cole would scream something, Bailey would react to it. It was me! It was me!
It was so good!
I enjoyed this match. I still think it should be a WrestleMania main event. Probably won't be. I'm feeling it's probably Sasha and Bianca at this point will be your women's free women's side if they don't rush through that, because they shouldn't. They should wait and let that draw out and make that special at this point.
But if it's Sasha and Bianca, honestly, I'm here for that as well, because that will be, that'd that be should be very, very good.
That would be really good, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this was, you almost can't describe this match if you kind of follow the entire feud since its inception, because this is something that has gone all the way from NXT to now. And you're talking years. Years of just frustration and betrayals and friendship and laughter and tears and blood and everything else, right? That you go through with a person. It was, you can't really get much more personal than what this match was. And the absolute just like icing on the cake of this match is after Sasha wins, they're standing there holding the title in front of her, presenting her with her prize. And Sasha's not looking at the title. She's looking at Bailey. And she's like, I did. And she's sitting there, and you can tell. She's not saying a word, but just the expression on her face is, I didn't want it to come to this. I didn't want to go there, but you made me. And it's almost like for a brief second, she's mourning the loss of her friend. Because I think, in a way, I think she wanted to get Bailey back as a friend. But this match proves that that's not going to happen, that Bailey's gone. And that's going to make the reconciliation, when they do have it, so much better. Because Bailey has to prove, basically, that she has changed for the better when they do eventually reconcile. But yeah, this was... And that's why I say, when Roman did it, it felt a little forced. When Sasha did it, it was like, oh, that's beautiful. That's just beautiful. Because again, you understand the history between the two, and you know what's led to this right here. Because at the end of the day, whether they're fighting or they're together, they're friends, and they've always been friends. It's just whether they're on the same side or not. So it was some really just lovely storytelling there at the end that was like, oh, don't go. Just end the show. Just end it right there. Just right there. And it's fine. And then, of course, Sasha sees her title and she walks off with it. And Bailey was just kind of laying there like, God damn it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Are you not going to hit the sounder?
Oh, I didn't even notice. Oh, I'll hit the sounder.
The Falcons very hard fought for a touchdown. It's now, should be 26, but we'll see.
They missed it. They missed it.
He missed it? Spoilers. Oh, Jesus Christ, did he miss it? Yes. So it's 25-17 with 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So yeah, this was great. I would go back and watch this voluntarily again because I liked it that much.
Yeah, this was a really good match. Again, I've been saying it forever. WrestleMania main event right here. And one day they will get that opportunity.
One day. I mean, I will say, because it went on the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view and it was not to the point that they actually had to pull the cell out. Like, it wasn't vicious enough. It wasn't bloodthirsty enough. It wasn't even really a requirement to pull the cell out of mothballs on a non-Hell in a Cell themed pay-per-view for those two to fight. Like, I think if you go back and you look, especially at, like, Shawn and Hunter, right? They have an entire, or not Shawn and Hunter, Hunter and Taker. They have an entire Hell in a Cell themed pay-per-view. Hunter and Taker got that thing whipped out for WrestleMania. Because, one, they could, and because, two, the feud was that personal that it was a requirement for the match. They had to have it. And Bayley and Sasha definitely meet all that criteria. I think a Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania would have been absolutely epic. It would have been every bit as good as this. So I think putting it on the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view does cheapen it very, very slightly, but not by much. But yeah, Mania would have been good. But I'll take this. I was fine with this. No problems with it.
Yeah.
So up next.
Up next, your next filler match. Bobby Lashley beat Slapjack for the U.S. title.
It was there.
Main event time. Drew McIntyre and Randy were in Hell in a Cell for the WWE Championship.
This shouldn't have been in the cell. I'm sorry.
No.
It shouldn't have been in the cell.
It should have. It shouldn't have been your main event.
No, it should not have been the main event. I would agree with that.
Because they took all the violent spots and put them in the middle of Hell in a Cell. If this matchup was in the middle, it would have been a perfectly acceptable Hell in a Cell match that people would have really enjoyed, and it would have worked. But because you saw all the spots in the middle, these two guys had nothing to play with.
Yeah, and the thing is you can tell, especially by this third one, that I'm not sure if they voluntarily did it or they were told by production, y'all can't use the same spots in all three matches. So it's like, somebody has to be really violent, somebody has to do something else, and then somebody has to do something kind of slow. And I feel like, in a lot of ways, that's good because it provides a level of diversity in the show, because it's three very different matches. It's a story of three very different matches, very different outcomes. They're all memorable, which is important, because I feel like if they were all just, oh my god, they just murdered each other, if all three of them were like that, they wouldn't be as memorable. But yeah. I feel like this one kind of gets lost in the shuffle, because it's just sort of there. Even though they tried things, even though they got to do the spot off the top, which wasn't really a spot off the top.
The very convoluted, we're going to climb up once, we're going to get the cage door open, then we're going to convolute our way up the cage, cross the cage, down the cage, off the cage. But,
by the way, I need to speak to Drew McIntyre about something real quick. Drew, honey, you're not Taker. Don't do the door shut thing.
Yeah.
No offense, and it was a cute little tribute if he meant it intentionally, but yeah, it's like he did the Taker door shut thing, and it's like, no, honey, you have to do it with more authority than that. It's like, somebody needs to come, like, they need to get Mark Calloway to come, like, teach these boys how to just be pissed off enough that you just put the fear of God into people with just a door shut. Because that man just knows how to reach behind himself and just shut that door. And the second you see him do that, you're like, I'm fucked. I'm going to die. And it's going to hurt.
So can we talk about the best part of the match?
Yes.
So they come off the cage. Drew falls through the table. Randy has to watch him crawl through all the way across around the ring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember then they went to replay?
Yeah.
And then Drew magically was right at the door.
Drew gets up and runs the door. Yeah, that was good.
That was great.
Yeah,
I don't know if that was actually happened or he actually crawled, but yeah, that was cool.
So here's my thing. One, it was super awkward when they showed them climbing down the cell and they're trying to fight, right? Like, they're just swatting at each other, but they're both trying to hold on so they don't fall, kind of thing. And you respect it, right? Because it's like, you're trying to do this and you're trying to do this safely, and I 100% respect you for doing that. But it was just such a really awkward moment where they're both standing on the cell, because it really was that iconic shot, right? That Randy kind of recreated with Drew of Taker standing on top of the cell, and Randy's like, come on, get your ass up here, let's go. And the two of them fight on top of the cell, which, by the way, the drone shot. Please don't do
oh,
the
God,
drone
that
shot
was
again.
Awful.
I appreciate what you did there, and if the set was higher, it would have totally worked, but you had a very weird light flare situation going on there, and it was messing with the shot, and it just was not okay. But anyway, so you have them fighting on top of the cell. they get to the edge and it's like, yep, yep, yep. You know somebody's going off the top. It's just a question, are they going off the top or are they going off the side? And they went off the side, to which point you now realize that the men with the biggest balls in that company are Mick Foley, Rikishi, and Shane McMahon, who cannonballed off the top of that cell into an announce table. Legit. And yeah. Shane did it off the modern cell.
Mm-hmm.
Mick did it off the original one, which was not as high, but it still hurt like a son of a bitch.
Well, clearly it... And he went off twice. Once
and
through...
he went off twice. And then there's Rikishi, who got pushed off, I think, the middle version, which was not as high as the current version.
It was the original. It was the original version that was just more secure, because it was the original version.
Because there's a lot of weight on top of it.
Yeah, it just had a different top to it a little bit.
That needs to be... I need somebody in an interview to ask Mark Calloway, who the fuck keeps convincing you to get on top of the cell? Why do you keep allowing that to happen to yourself?
The answer is Vince.
Yeah. Probably. But, like, this was, yeah, it was just, it was a really awkward shot of them climbing down. It was an awkward fall, because I think you mentioned that what it would have been cool is if they had figured out how to do the RKO through the table onto the floor off the cell.
Yeah, that would have been cool. 10 years ago, Randy would have done it.
Yeah. Randy would have done it 10 years ago. Not now. So, I mean, I appreciate that they did the spot, but, yeah, it was, like, it was just really kind of weird and awkward, and I just had a thought about the I Quit match that we need to go back to after we're done with this.
Okay.
But yeah, in the end, Drew McIntyre cannot withstand Randy Orton.
And the three most dangerous letters in all of wrestling are KO.
And your new World Heavyweight Champion, or WWE Champion, I should say, Randy Orton. This was a great ending. It made Drew look like a boss, because even though he lost, he essentially had to get thrown off the side of the cage and RKO'd for Randy to pick up the victory. And I think a lot of people were waiting for Miz to do the cash in on Randy. It did not happen. It did not happen on Raw, even though Miz teased it. Basically, he held it up in front of Drew and he's like, I have my ticket to Randy. You don't. But yeah, this was a nice way to close out the pay-per-view. I enjoyed this match, not as much as the Bayley-Sasha match, but I enjoyed it all the same. I feel like Bayley and Sasha should have been the main event, but I understand why they were not. Because obviously Drew and Randy take precedence in that case. But going back to the I Quit match real quick, I just want one where they don't really ask them every 5 seconds. And granted, they weren't asking them a lot, but they were asking them a lot in this match. I just wanted to get to a point where they don't ask. Because here's the thing. At the end of that match, the ref is basically bargaining with Jay. All you have to do is say I quit and I'll end the match. Like, that's all you have to do is just say I quit and I'll end it, right? Like, he's trying to bargain with Jay, and it's like, no, I want Roman to do something to Jay Uso to the point that he literally just screams, I quit, repeatedly. Because that's really what it should be, is you do something so horrific to your opponent, you put them in such god-awful pain or misery or what have you, that they are forced to quit. They can't take anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wish the refs didn't ask as much, but it wasn't too bad this go-around. Like, it wasn't somebody took a bump, do you quit? Do you quit? It wasn't that.
Yeah.
It's about every 3 bumps that they did that.
It was longer between. He also wasn't throwing a microphone in the face. That's always been the problem, is throwing the microphone in the face.
Yeah.
They left the microphone out of it.
Well, to be fair, they didn't need it in this case.
Yeah, that's true.
They can lower the crowd noise as they need to. But anyway, those are our thoughts on Hell in a Cell. Do we have Pick'em?
A-Ball went 2-4. Myself, you, and the Wheel went 3-3.
All right. Good deal.
So that's one show out of the way.
We are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking about NXT's Halloween Havoc. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Bang! Event.
CB Radio. Saturday nights, midnight to Houston. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flow Rider's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Right here on wildtalkradio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on recradioshow.com, wildtalkradio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. It is the Halloween spooktacular, as Halloween is Saturday. And we have a pretty sweet treat for you, because if you go to manscaped.com right now for the next month, you can use code WTRLIVE and get 20% off plus free shipping on any product in their store. That's pretty awesome, guys. So that's manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. And, well, we did Hell in a Cell. I say we have a little fun and do some Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alrighty, the return, I guess, of Tweet of the Week. So, Eric, aka the Pool Shark. Oh, before I forget, Darkness429, you insured the helmet and T7 thermals that I tossed for Dr. Lupo. You should be getting some insurance back this afternoon. Darkness429, that's so much responsibility. Dr. Lupo, please pick them up for me, Tim. I love you. Tim responds, what's in it for me? And Clintus McGinnis replies with an image of Dr. Lupo's giant coffee beans from Tarkov. Tim the Tatman, when the Cowboys are down 19 to Washington at the half, and it's an image of Tim overlaid with a tweet that just says pain.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
My old friend. Closey responds with, thanks for the update. Tim goes, do you even watch football? Closey goes, I wouldn't consider watching the Cowboys play as watching football this season, to be honest. Tim goes, bro, low-key a sixth grader could kick your ass. Cloak goes, maybe after he kicks my ass, he could kick for the Cowboys, cause sheesh. Look, sir.
Went for the jugular on that one.
Damn, Dr. Lupo.
Lupo, man.
Tomorrow, when I play Tarkov with Darkness429, I'll shoot him in the leg as many times as this tweet gets likes. Good luck, Tim. I would like to point out the tweet got 13,000 likes. And responds, yo, WTF is this, Ben? Then we have just a series of responses. Ammunition tweets the gif of just smashing the button repeatedly. True Vanguard goes, I want you to know I only like this tweet once. Once on this account and once on the RGH account. Tim responds, bro! With the gif of, why would you do this to me? And then Tim's like, okay, y'all, you need to come down on the liking. Stop it. Basically, Lupo did not end up shooting Tim in the leg 13,000 times.
No, but he didn't. He did it and then started to scare him.
Yeah. Garrett Swan. Hell in the Cell. Where the heck was Fight Owen's Vice? Kevin responds, on my trampoline. Trevor May. Anyone else hate it when movies set before the invention of clocks use general times of day to meet? Like, how do you meet at midday? What if they mean 2 and you're there at noon? That would suck. Trevor, honey. They had watches and sundials and things. Like, they could tell time.
We just let Trevor be.
Just let Trevor and his deep thoughts be. Pat McAfee. Oni, I can't wait to trade tales of our wild journeys to the top of the mountain, brother. P.S. I was 17. Oh, wait, no, that's not the original tweet. Where's the original tweet? They're all out of order. No, they're all out of order. Okay, anyway, the original tweet. Go back and get it. Oh, we deleted it!
That's why it's out of order.
That's why it's out of order. He deleted it. Okay. So anyway, basically, Oni Larkin tweeted Pat McAfee, and he responds with, Oni, I can't wait to trade tales of our wild journeys to the top of the mountain, brother. P.S. I was 17 when this happened, went to a kicking camp with the money, and earned a scholarship to WVU by kicking a 65-yard field goal. No big deal. Let's go. Basically, he won a bunch of money in, like, an illegal poker tourney or some shit like that. Oni Larkin goes, I love you. And Dana Birch is like, 17? Get in there. I love this trio. Just so everybody's aware, I love this trio so much.
We'll have more with the trio here in a bit.
Hollywood Reporter. Oscar Isaacs is in talks to star in Marvel's Moon Knight for Disney Plus. David Itzkoff. Well, we know how the moon reacted. And you followed up with the Washington Post's tweet of Moon's Wet. And that's Tweet of the Week.
Action Jackson. First place, baby. Suck it, Tim Tatman in particular. Tim Tatman. Hey man, I was pulling for the Eagles tonight. Woo! Go Eagles! E-A-G-L-E-S. Eagles. Action Jackson goes, don't do it. Stop it. So, UFC fighter Khabib retired on Saturday. Left his gloves in the ring. Chill Hartman goes, sure he's retired now, but just wait until he gets the offer to fight Goldberg in Saudi Arabia. I mean, that's what you do.
The money's good, man.
So, streamer Electra tweets, guess my height, and she posted a picture. Lupo goes, why does this look like Courage JD took this picture from his eye level? So it's from below her and up. Courage goes, are you done? I'm 6'2". No, you're not, but good try.
On a good day, by standing on a chair, you are, yeah.
We all saw the boxes that you stand on. Mike Golick Jr., the football team is starting to have a nice ring to it. Like, forget America's team. You're the football team. So we all know what happened on Sunday. Cowboys lost their quarterback, Andy Dalton. Put in Ben DiNucci, right? Third string. Pat Gallen tweets, Ben DiNucci's in South Philadelphia. Great chicken parm. Because, you know, it sounds like a restaurant. Richard Triunfo, if Roman keeps the gold glove, I hope he changes the move name from Superman Punch to the Midas Touch. I mean, true.
Not bad.
Austin Creed, I obviously cannot be for sure, but the walls of the hotel I'm in seem to be made of paper mache. I assume two people in the room next to mine are caught in a bear trap or something, and it's a gif of putting headphones on. Poor Creed.
Just you know, knock on the wall and ask if you can join.
As we all know, he would always want to... Anyway.
Keep it tight.
So we're going to turn the page and go, Tim Tatman. Yep, I went there. Tim Tatman goes, congrats to LA on winning the World Series. I'm going to take this time to let y'all know I could hit a ball out of any major league stadium in 10 pitches. Trevor May. No.
I actually want them to do that, if they could ever get it done, is to just
he was trying to set,
go to a park. And
they were trying to.
Fucking COVID.
Robert Stone. Whoever just called me yelling Stooge Man Stone into the phone has too much free time. Mickey James. I'm bored at home. # Stooge Man Stone. And finally, where is it? Right there. Sancho West goes, just had a thought. Fortnite kids will one day make their baby announcements by saying, we are no longer a duo. ... Insert trio's lobby screenshot here. True. And when it's twins, look at our new squad. Anyway, that was Tweet of the Week.
All right, so now we get to talk about this past Wednesday's spooktacular event put on by NXT, and that is Halloween Havoc. And there were a lot of expectations for this show. People were excited. They were nervous. There was a lot of buzz around this. And I just have to applaud WWE for this show. Me personally, I thought it was really, really good. I thought it was very entertaining. I feel like they just full send went for it.
They did. So let's break it down piece by piece. The opening video package, awesome.
Yes.
The entire set, fantastic.
Amazing.
Loved the orange ropes. That was a nice touch.
The orange rope, the orange lips on the tables, the orange ladders, the bodies that were drawn on the tables. Like I said, somebody full send went for this.
So last week, Vic Joseph and Wade Barrett had a challenge of, we're going to dress up in Halloween costume. So Vic dresses up as, where's Waldo? Waldo. Wade Barrett shows up and Vic is like, you didn't dress up for the thing. What do you mean? I'm dressed as my favorite WWE superstar. Bad news, Barrett.
Complete with gavel.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, he dropped his infamous line.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
I feel like Wade is, like, really enjoying himself right now. Like, just really, really, really having fun in NXT, which is good.
So we come in and we get through the video package and you get all the smoke and the pyro and the lighting and everything. And then we kick right into a live band performance for Damian Priest's entrance.
I need Damian Priest to come out like this every single goddamn time, because oh my god, this was so good. Like, it was so simple, but it was so fitting for him in every sense of the word, because he comes out rocking this like leather coat and pants ensemble that just was beautiful, and then he's got this metal guy shredding on a guitar. And at the end, the two are just headbanging together, enjoying themselves. And it's like, yes, yes, I need all of this. And the flames are going on the screens in the background and just the whole thing. Yeah, all this. This, he needs to come out like this all the damn time, because he looked like a legit rock star.
So he comes out, right? Then Johnny comes out and they had this big giant pumpkin. So they found a pumpkin, not the pumpkin, but a pumpkin. And they probably spent a few $100s on this pumpkin, I would assume, right?
Oh, at least.
It's massive. It was up for about a minute, 2 minutes. Johnny walks out, slices the thing.
We were like, no, not the pumpkin. Because we're like, Because when they first opened the set, it's like they had a virtual image of the gargoyle, and then they had the pumpkin, and it's like, oh my god, they recreated the set. That's so good. But yeah, Johnny popped the pumpkin, and it's like, dude, no, not the pumpkin. What did it ever do to you?
Johnny had a nice outfit, too.
Yes, he was Jack, the Pumpkin King, which was not very Pumpkin King-like to kill the pumpkin, I'm just saying.
Then you had Shotzi, and she got to spin the wheel and make the deal, and she was fantastic in her role throughout the night.
Oh, she did a wonderful job. She did everything. She had this, like, really great, like, opening segment on the show where she's in like an electric chair and she's almost like a Frankenstein type character where she comes to life, and then they gave her like a, I think it was an axle grinder, and she's just shooting sparks across this set of like moss and tombstones and mausoleums, and like they actually, I think, retook like the set from Taker's stuff and just rebuilt it in Full Sail. Or in, I'm not in Full Sail, in the PC, and just had it all there because they had like sod stuff there. It was really, really cool.
Really cool stuff. So she spins the wheel and make the deal, and it's a Devil's Playground match, which is no holds barred, false count anywhere.
And Johnny's like, okay.
Okay, so they have this match is really good. They're fighting in the ring for a while, then they brawl on outside, and they brawl backstage, and they're doing their stuff, and it was cool. Yeah, the casket, Johnny got spooked by opening a fake casket.
And something fell out of it and scared him.
Yeah.
Which was good, it was a nice touch.
Yeah.
Like, there was a lot of thought that went into this, you can tell.
Oh, yeah, and you didn't, there was picture in picture, so we didn't miss any of the action throughout the match.
Which is appreciated.
They brawl backstage for a bit, then they made their way back out onto the set by the wheel. And Johnny's up there, and then they're fighting, and it's like, okay, what's going to happen? So Johnny hits this DDT off the wheel. Or before that, before he hits the DDT, someone came out in a Scream costume. Johnny hit the DDT. And then the person in the Scream outfit hands Johnny a tombstone, and he smashes it over Damien's head, and that sends Damien off the platform through the set. Johnny pins Damien 1-2-3 to become the new North American champion. This was great.
This was everything you could want, because you just see the wheel and you're like, oh my god, Johnny's gonna die in front of the wheel. Good lord, the Falcons won another game. Oh my god, y'all, you need to throw. How are you throwing?
I mean, Todd Gurley almost threw it again for them, but yeah,
he tried. Falcons win 25-17. I'm sorry, go on.
But no, they battled, and this was better than their match at TakeOver, because they got to do more here. They lived up to the stipulation. Yeah, this was really good. I know some people did not like the interference spot, but it will pay off in the end.
I didn't mind the interference spot, because it's very heelish of Johnny to get help to beat Damien. You know, the Gargano way is ask for help when you need it or something like that, and he gets help.
And they foreshadowed the help.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago.
They did a really nice job setting that up. So I didn't mind the help, because he really, here's the thing, like the help was present, but it wasn't distracting. Like the dude literally rolls up in a scream mask. He helps Johnny, and then he takes a move, and then he leaves. Like that's it. Like you didn't see the guy coming back and forth. He wasn't at ringside. He just did one thing and he left.
It didn't dominate the match. It just dominated the finish.
It was just a really nice way to do that where it wasn't 100% distracting.
So whoever's under that mask, you should all figure it out. They clearly told you on television who it was. Get it? Television?
Well, it's going to be interesting how they explain the transformation at the end.
They'll get to it.
They'll figure it out.
It was, they had to make do. For what it was.
Because reasons. Pandemic.
Yeah. So Johnny is your new North America champion.
Bills now.
We'll get to that. There's stuff that I have something to play after we're done this whole show for everybody. So we go, before we come to the Pat McAfee bunch, because they're walking to the ring, we're backstage, and Cameron is freaking out to William Regal. William's like, you know, you just got to go to the parking lot. Just follow me. We got to go to the parking lot. What? No. Why? Why? No. We could just call the match. You could just give me the loss. I'll take it. More of that to come.
And William's like, no.
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 Just follow me, child. Follow me.
And there's this small, wry little smirk on his face where he's just thoroughly enjoying himself being slightly villainous.
Speaking of villains, we have Pat McAfee on Lurking at Danny Burch comes to the ring. McAfee's talking about everything, about how everyone raved about his debut.
the Stooges in the crowd, they thought it was awesome, and then berated the fans and the internet wrestling community. He said, the IWC, by God, we're gonna rage. He talked about how Adam Cole was a scumbag who flexed on him after the win. No sign of respect, just flexed on him. McAfee then talked about his other shows, his businesses, and everything like that. And he revealed, you know, he was the one behind Ridge Holland attacking Adam Cole. And all it took was buying the big man big-ass Mercedes-Benz. He shouted, but...
I mean, that's a pretty nice prize.
Yeah, he just wanted a car. He didn't want money. He wanted a car. I was like, all right, cool. Then, well, he got injured. Then he talked about how he wanted to pay off Lorcan and Burch, but they were honorable. They didn't want to be paid off. They just accepted the offer after they lost on Undisputed Era. So... they were about to mention, talk, their, give their reason, but Kyle O'Reilly came out. Kyle came out with no other members on the Undisputed Era because they were all injured last week. Then all of a sudden, you heard music you haven't heard since March. Former NXT Tag Team Champion himself, Pete Dunne, made his way to the ring with two steel chairs. He hands one, he's on the apron, oh, Kyle's on the apron, Burch, Lurkin, and McAfee are in the ring. He hands Kyle a chair. They get in the ring, they're ready to whoop on these three men, till Pete Dunne whacked Kyle in the back with the steel chair. And then he stomped Kyle into the ground. Boom. And then working alone at Birch and laid him out too. They are the kings of the brands. And that is undisputed.
This was everything. This was good. Especially having Pete Dunne come back. It's like, hey, they found him.
He traveled by boat. Oh. Maybe.
And he looks so good. Like, dude has been working out like a madman.
He's dropped a lot of weight, he said.
Yeah, you can, because it's like, I think when I saw him, when UK came back, it's like, oh, he's gotten thick. Which wasn't a bad thing, but he came back looking trim and everything else and jacked as hell. And, you know, I didn't really think I needed Kyle O'Reilly and Pete Dunne in my life, but I will take it. I will absolutely take it in a heartbeat because that will be fantastic.
Pat's going to do good things for them.
Pat's going to do amazing things for them. I'm so happy they have him back and they're going to push him because they need to. He's just too stupidly talented and gifted at this to not do that. I'm sure we'll all hate him by the end.
But that's what
for right now.
And we do hate him because that's the job.
It's just there's such a natural inclination there that it's like, oh my God, this is going to be wonderful.
So just thinking about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's Pat, Dunn, Lurkin, and Birch. That's a 4-man crew, right?
Mm-hmm.
Undisputed, it's a 4-man crew, right?
Mm-hmm. 4v4 at a Survivor Series
No, I wouldn't even go Survivor Series. Because they won't make it to Survivor Series.
You thinking War Games?
I'm thinking we might be going to war.
Oh my God, Pat McAfee and freaking War Games, Jesus Christ.
It would be the perfect setup.
It would, and they could cover for him.
Mm-hmm. So William Regal is leading Cameron Grimes
to his death.
To his death. He says, my child, go through that door and leave. But I don't want to go.
But Mr. Regal, sir.
So he walks out the door and Regal's like, you get in the van. And Cameron's like, no, I don't want to go. No. By the way, Cameron Grimes saying no to going inside a strange white van is the smartest move in the world because... yeah, you know.
Is it wrong that I screamed when the van rolled up and I was like, oh my God, that's perfect. Because it's this nondescript, stalker, old, beat up white van that's completely 1000% appropriate for Dexter Lumis. Like, it's just like, oh my God, he rolled up in that. That's brilliant.
So there's a creepy guy in the front. So he gets freaked out. So he opens the back of the van. Out came Michael Hayes.
Bad Street came to visit. Because Michael Hayes is there.
And of course he was wearing, had a bright orange shirt too. It's fantastic.
Of course he did. I mean, it's Michael Hayes.
So they drive off. More to come. But Michael Hayes cameo really good. In a non-title match, Santos Escobar beat Jake Atlas. Okay. I know the internet went crazy for this. For Santos's gear. It would have been great if he was the first one to think of it in WWE.
Yeah.
I mean, his gear was more like full-on Rey Mysterio gear. But Seth just did it 2 months ago at SummerSlam.
But honestly, it was a nice little touch.
It was. But Ray has hundreds of other gears.
I know that, but I really also liked the face paint that they had going on.
Yeah, it was cool. But like, I would more about, oh my God, he's paying tribute to Ray if we just didn't see Ray get mocked for that same gear.
Well, you know, like you do.
So Shotzi Blackheart welcomes us to the Haunted House of Terror match. As the announcer said, presented by Geico.
good too.
She did.
Like, whoever did her makeup and her outfits was just
that quick too.
Yeah, on point. They were super on point. Unless her stuff was like pre-filmed.
I don't think so. So Cameron Grimes, Dexter Lumis, Haunted House of Heart, Haunted House. What was it? The Haunted House match.
I don't even think I can describe this match. I know I loved it. I know I loved everything about it. I know it was extremely unfair because Dexter Lumis was 1,000% in his home environment. And poor Cameron. God bless him. Poor Cameron.
If you need someone to play the scared victim, Cameron's your guy.
The sweating scared victim.
Yeah.
He was so sweaty. Like, it's like, I ain't gonna catch him because he's just gonna pop out. Like, he's just drenched. And it was, I think what made it horrible in one point is, like, Cameron ends up in the, like, the bathroom of this house that they've rented, right? And it's some, like, B-level 70s horror movie porn thing, like, moment where there's this girl in the shower and Cameron's like, all of a sudden he forgets his fear and he's like, hey baby, how you doing? And he like starts getting naked.
I'm Cameron Grimes.
And he's like getting naked and he's just drenched in sweat. Like, he's just covered in sweat. And it's like, oh God, this is gross. This is nasty. This is so gross. This is so gross. And then he like opens the curtain and it's this like contortionist demon girl thing, whatever. And he's like, ah, and he runs away. It's just like, oh my God in heaven. That was beautiful. Like, this was so perfect because it was majority cinematic, at least the first part. But what I loved about this was what the House of Horrors match.
Yeah.
Lacked.
Yeah, this had it.
This had it, which was Cameron Grimes ran his sweaty ass all the way back to the PC.
Yeah.
From this location.
He tried to get in the van, but he couldn't because Dexter had the van. So he's just sprinting the entire way.
And he comes back, which respect, because it's either really, really close to the PC or that dude can run, man. But, like, it was almost something out of, like, Scooby-Doo, right? Like, where this whole match was, like, something out of Scooby-Doo, but it was much darker than that. Just because of the comedic aspects of Cameron balanced with everything else that was going on around him. I also have to applaud WWE for the amount of extras that were dressed up as, like, demons and zombies and everything else in this match that were haunting this house. It was a really great filler because Cameron and Dexter didn't really fight in the first part. You had Dexter stalking Cameron the whole time, and he would like jump scare him and he would grab him a couple times, but then Cameron would get away and Cameron would go elsewhere in the house and Dexter would have to stalk him again. So the filler in between was the extras coming in and haunting Cameron. And this was so perfect. This was so good. And the way that you have Cameron get away is he runs off and the van pulls up and he gets in the passenger seat and he looks over and there's Dexter sitting there driving the creepy white van. And Cameron nopes it, gets out of the van and runs like hell. And they just do a to be continued. It's like, this was perfect. This was just absolutely perfect. And then later in the show, because they ran another match in between, you see Cameron still running up the street trying to get back to the PC. And then for the finale of the match, which was right before the main event, Cameron comes back. The door was unlocked the whole time, or Regal unlocked it after he left. I'm not sure which. And Cameron gets to the ring and he collapses in the graveyard that's by the ring. And the ghosts have followed him. And they're haunting him. And smoke fills the ring. And there's Dexter. And you have this really spooky, creepy, like, woods background on the screens behind them. It was just perfect. And you have Dexter Lumis claim his victim in Cameron Grimes as the ghosts close in to catch him. And also, respect to the girl that climbed Dexter Lumis like a tree.
That's Dexter Lumis's sister!
I know that's his sister, but still, respect.
I love how Wayne had to shout that. So Dexter wins somehow.
You know, honestly, I think this was, I keep saying it, but this was perfect. This was the perfect way to do this, to book this. Dexter didn't have to do a lot. Cameron didn't have to do a lot. It came off super effective. They both looked beyond good. Cameron Grimes is a star in the making. I'm just going to say that. And I hate that I love him, but this just made me love him even more just because of how good this was. Like, he did this so well to a T because he was the perfect balance to Dexter.
Okay. So they can never do this again.
No, they can't.
This was for Halloween and Halloween only. If they want to do it again next year, fine. But it has to stay in Halloween Havoc. That's where it belongs.
Yeah, please don't do this across. Like, don't do this for somebody else. Just let this be unique.
Because it fit the night. Okay. So you mentioned there was a match in between.
Mm-hmm.
Rhea Ripley and Raquel Gonzalez, pretty good.
Pretty decent.
I enjoyed it. They beat the hell out of each other for a while. It's good.
It played to both of their strengths, which was to just kind of be a more brawling style match. And yeah, I really, truly enjoyed this. This was good. I wouldn't mind seeing another one, actually.
Very physical, very powerful. I liked it. Rhea got the win. Raquel showed stuff in this match that you haven't seen from her.
I think we finally got to see her.
Yeah.
Like, this is sort of her coming out match a little bit in terms of finally being able to see what she's capable of. Because before, she's kind of always been backup. They haven't really let her wrestle much that we've seen. So this was a nice change for her to finally showcase her and her talent, what she's able to do.
So we had Mackenzie Mitchell interviewing Drake Maverick. Brother, what you gotta do, brother, with these 2.4 inch pythons, brother?
I pop for that so hard. It was hilarious.
Drake was Hulk Hogan. Then you had someone dressed as the Giant from WCW, and then you had the Yeti man walking around, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Killian Dane walk through the curtain as the Shockmaster. And Drake was like, I had something set up and for you to walk through. And I was like, yeah, I didn't care for that.
Killian, bless.
He was not going to Shockmaster himself.
I wonder if that was the actual helmet.
No, probably something that I made up. So that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had Tommaso cutting a promo, talking about people being entitled for opportunities, and he's going to take care of the Velvet Team Dream.
Mm-mm. Daddy's home.
Main event time, Io Shirai, Candice LeRae for the NXT Women's Championship. Both women got spectacular entrances in their own right. More Candice had her own look going for her, and then Poppy brought out Io Shirai, and she looked badass in that entrance.
Candice came out as Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas, and yeah, the whole, because Poppy was unexpected. Poppy was a surprise, and so
it was a surprise, but it shouldn't be a surprise because like a half hour before that, they tweeted out something for 48 hours only. Get this special limited edition Poppy T-shirt.
Yeah, but you weren't really paying attention at that point, I don't think. So the fact that, like, she just rolled up and, oh, hey, look, there's Poppy playing Io Shirai to the ring, which was glorious, was just perfect. Like, I told Rock this as we were watching it, which was that I like how they put the emphasis on Damian and Io because Finn isn't there to defend the title. So they made their other two singles titles shine because Finn's not there. And they made them feel ultra important and ultra big with the big entrances, with everything else, with the big matches. And it just, I really appreciate how they did that. And you had Io and Candice close the show.
So this was a little brutal. It was hard hitting.
Oh my god, this was insane.
The one spot I thought was cool. So Io had Candice's leg trapped in the chair and she did like a dragon screw with the chair.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really cool. You never see that before. It was different. And they went for it and the end. So the person in the mask comes back out and she assists Candice up on the ladder. And Shotzi gets involved. By the way, it was tables, ladders, and stairs. She pulled out a table and had body parts in the bag.
And they were fighting each other with the body parts.
They were. They fell through the table that had the body outline drawn on it too. That was cool. So anyway, they're climbing up. So he helps her up the ladder. Shotzi gets involved. Takes out the person. So Candice's like, all right, I got this. He goes up. He goes back up with the ladder. They fight. Candice gets sent off the ladder. Goes crashing through the ladder bridge, ladder that was across the announce table. And she took that hard, hard.
Mm-hmm.
But Io looked at it, did that just happen? Yeah. Okay, cool. Time to go get the belt. And then Io grabbed the belt and retained.
This was a wonderful, wonderful match. I loved so much about it. It just shined in a in a series of really good matches and a really strong offering from NXT, this match absolutely shined because Io and Candice did not shy away from the brutality aspect of this. They understood it was tables, ladders, and scares, which is essentially tables, ladders, and chairs. But they didn't go over the top with it, but they did beyond enough to make it positively brutal. Like Candice's spot at the end going through the ladder. Holy shit. And then all the stuff with the chairs, them slapping each other with the body parts was a nice comedic moment. Like everything about this was just beautiful to watch. And even the helper coming out at the end to lift Candice up onto the ladder and just dangle her on the ladder, which is what led to Shotzi getting involved because she's like, wait, no, I did not sign up for this. And she starts fighting the dude, plus I think Candice was great. It's perfect. Like, I couldn't ask for anything better than this.
Okay. This show had everything. This had a bit. This was not a takeover, but had two takeover level matches, which we saw at takeover. The pyro, the whole spectacular, really made this like a must-see event. That's really good and showed in the ratings that people were interested in the show. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really well done. After the show, last week, we heard Johnny and his wheel, right?
Mm-hmm.
His hatred for the wheel. Has Johnny changed his mind?
Candice, an extremely hard-fought match tonight, but an unfortunate loss. How are you feeling?
How am I feeling? Did you really just ask me how I'm feeling? How am I feeling? Did you watch the match at all? Did you see any of it? I could barely move my arm because she freaking did that stupid brainbuster on the chair again. How am I doing? Some idiot decided she was going to get involved. Shotzi had no right to get in there. What the heck is her problem? And you're going to ask me how I'm doing. How am I doing? She just asked me how I'm doing. Did you hear her ask me how I'm doing? Are you freaking kidding me? You're kidding me. Do you want to maybe go get me some ice? Oh, wait, you didn't watch the match, so you wouldn't know that I'm in pain right now. Huh?
You didn't watch the match?
Clearly not, because she had the nerve to ask me how I'm doing.
I did watch the match.
Okay. But you asked me how I'm doing. How am I doing? You have any other stupid questions you want to ask this? Any other ones? Any? No? No? No?
No.
You want to say anything? Anything?
Yeah.
Do you want to say anything?
I mean.
You want to tell them how stupid that all was? How much that sucked? Yeah? You want to tell them? You want to tell them?
I mean, it sucked,
yeah. Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah. I mean, what?
Why was I a wheel? A wheel? Well, let's spin a wheel. I should be women's champion, NXT women's champion right now. Spin a wheel? What are you smiling about?
I'm not smiling.
You're definitely smiling. What are you smiling about?
I'm not smiling about anything.
I said, were you happy?
No, I just, you know, maybe, you know, the wheel, you brought up the wheel in kind of a negative way.
Yeah, it and sucks. Maybe, it sucks. I hate that stupid wheel. I hate it. Yeah. I hate the stupid wheel.
You know, wheels aren't so bad. You know, our car has wheels. Like, they're very useful. They're round. They're great. You know, I can show you. Hold on. I'll show you how useful wheels are.
No.
Wheels, you know.
I don't want to see any freaking
hold
wheels.
Hold on, wait.
I don't want to see
you're
wheels.
Hurt. You're hurt.
I don't want to see
you
wheels.
You just fell from 100 feet off that
with
ladder.
With like 700 pounds velocity. Just
700 pounds of velocity through that ladder. You went through tape. Yeah, it was nuts. I couldn't even watch. I had dirt in my eye, too, but we're not going to get into that. Hold on. I'm going to change your mind about wheels right now. Look at this thing.
I swear.
Boom.
What is that?
Boom. Wheels. Has NXT on it?
How is that supposed to make me feel better?
It'll make you feel better because I know when you walk, it hurts. Like, you just fell forever. And when you're walking, it's like, you can't walk, right? So if you hop on this, wheels... take away, I don't have to carry you, right?
Oh,
I don't got to sling you over my shoulder and go walking because I'm hurt too. Oh, I went through hell tonight. But, you know.
So
if you just hop on this,
you
the
want
wheels,
me to hop on that.
Gravity.
You want me to hop on that.
Understand
that. I don't want to talk about gravity either. I don't want to talk about gravity either.
Get up, just, you know, try that. Just step on it. Step on it. You step on it. Step on it.
Maybe can you grab my stuff?
I will grab your stuff if you step on it.
Can you grab my stuff?
Step on it.
You were so rude, you could at least grab my stuff. What is this going to do? Oh, my gosh.
I'm a wheeling, dealing son of a gun. Look at this thing. Watch. Look how cool this wheel is.
Whoop. Why would you ask me?
kind of a little Aleister Black.
I just want to go home. I want to go home.
Hold on. You
want
to be Aleister Black for a second?
No, I want.
I'll let you be Aleister Black. Hold on. Watch. You ready?
I just want to go home. Stop. My neck hurts.
Okay.
My neck hurts.
Get back.
I'm going home. I'm not going.
No more Aleister.
No.
Oh. I mean, it's okay. We'll get him next time.
My favorite.
Do you want to be Aleister Black?
You want to be Aleister Black?
This was so good.
They're fantastic. So fantastic. Anyway, with that, we're done.
We are done. So you have stuff to plug, so plug away.
So chat, it's almost midnight. No Fortnite with friends.
Yeah.
It's not in the cards tonight. Sorry. Saturday, though, we'll be there. Speaking of Saturday, Saturday Night Midnight Edition, another edition of CB Radio. We'll do our own spooktacular on CB Radio. Mwahaha. On Halloween, somebody will give his number one Halloween movie and much, much more at CB Radio Saturday Night's Midnight Edition. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio will be live 10 p.m. Eastern. Yes, we will be live 10 p.m. Eastern on Sunday night. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the Rack. Track Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all the podcasting platforms. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you name it, it's there. Search for the Rack Radio Show. Hey guys, have you heard of Amazon Prime? You can link it to your Twitch account, and that's called Prime Gaming, and you can subscribe for free by hitting the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. They got Ghostbuster skins. They had the Doctor skin. The Skull Pooper is available. Just use code ROCKINSOCK, hashtag ad, hashtag epic partner. Do you know we're a Manscaped pod? Yes, we are, because you can go to manscaped.com, use code WTRLive, and save 20% off and get free shipping. That's right. Use code WTRLive, get 20% off and free shipping. Manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. And other parts of your body. At Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at LinsWard, LinsWard. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, manscaped.com. Get that 20% plus free shipping with the code WTRLive and mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. So everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you Saturday for Fortnite with friends. But till then, he's Rock. I'm Lindsay. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we'll see you then. Bye.
Wild Talk Radio Network.